So that's the purpose tonight. We start by looking further down into Ezekiel 1, where Brother Charlie's going to read verses 5 through 12.
Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had four. They four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went.
So comparing this to Ezekiel 10, it would appear that these were cherubims, but we're not 100% sure. Because, as we studied a few weeks ago, cherubims are not always described the same way. And there's differences. We don't have time to make that comparison. You can do that on your own from Ezekiel 1, 5-12, and Ezekiel 10. But I mention this first off because it's possible these are not cherubims, but a very similar other angelic creature. And that's the thing about this. It's interesting because we're not given a lot of specific and detailed information about some of these creatures. You'll see as we go on. But we start by pointing out that, as seen in a previous study, not all cherubim look the same. If those are cherubim, then they definitely are not the same as others we read about. Isn't that mysterious? Hence the title. Yeah, you can do it for me, Johnny. Let's hear it. We next look at something that's not a creature, but is a heavenly thing. But it does things, so it's really a strange thing. Zechariah 5, 1-4, Olivia is going to introduce us to this.
Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof.
I don't know if you've ever taken time to really look at what you just read there and look at what it says, but it's a 30 by 15 roll, and I specify it's a scroll. We're not talking about, you know, bread. It's a scroll. You know what a scroll is, everybody? I didn't get a picture of one for you tonight. This scroll flies around and destroys thieves, blasphemers, and then levels whole houses. Isn't that amazing? Now, it's the same size as the holy place in the temple. You can compare that in 1 Kings 6:3. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. So the place where the priest would go into the holy place is the same size. And it wasn't very big. How many of you have ever done the measurements on that? 30 by 15 is not massive. And be like 5 Charlies by 4 Charlies or something. Yeah, so that's why I mentioned it, because it's not a creature per se, but This thing goes around. Now, I also would say this. There are some who will teach that this represents the Word of God. It's symbolic of the Word of God. And that might be. We're not getting into all that discussion and everything. But if it is symbolic of the Word of God, it's more than just that. Because the Word of God doesn't go around killing people and leveling houses as it's described there. So it might be that it's picturing the Word of God raising up this creature to do these things and everything. We'll get into Zechariah if the Lord tarries eventually. But Zechariah 5, then 5 through 8. Jenny?
Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof.
So here we've seen this flying roll, and now we see this, it's called an ephah. But it's described as, in other words, you'd have baskets that would hold an ephah. And just like we do this same thing, the thing that carries an ephah became known as an ephah. You know, what's an example of that? You guys think, I'll make you wake up for a second and think.
Kleenex.
A cup.
Yeah.
So water. Like, oh, can you hand me a water?
Yeah. That's called a water, and it's actually a bottle with water in it. Anybody else think of that? Something that you call by the name of what it actually either carries or you think of something like that? Anybody? Giving you opportunity.
Tea or coffee? Can you
give
me a tea?
Get me a tea, and it's a cup of, you want tea in a cup? That's similar. It is. So they would fill up these baskets, and it would be an ephah of barley, for example. But then they just started calling the basket an ephah. And this ephah would be like a module. And it would hold an ephah of grain. And in this case, instead of grain, it had a very wicked passenger in it. Look at verse 7. This is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. So this is like a flying saucer. It is called an unidentified flying object. Why? Well, it looks like a saucer. But saucers don't fly. So they called them UFOs. Well, people got used to just calling UFOs flying saucers. But this is a UFO. It's an unidentified flying object. You see my point? It's not an alien ship. But it's flying and it's unidentified. And it's an object. So it's a UFO. I've lost a few of you. That's okay. It is what it is. I got this from Peter Ruckman. He says, quote, The way I usually read it is that the woman is sitting in that ephah, kind of like a pilot in a cockpit, and that the talent of lead is something like a manhole cover floating over her head. An angel comes along and takes that lead manhole cover and slams it down on the top of that ephah. Sealing the woman in kind of like a hatch on an aircraft. I just thought that was a great description of what you just read. So maybe something a little bit like that? Huh. You don't think if Zechariah saw that, what's he going to compare it to? Looks like an ephah. And there's a woman inside it. And it has a hatch. So I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying as a point of reference, though, that's awful coincidental, isn't it? That's what I'm saying. The role I included because it does things that are, you know, like a drone, for example, is unmanned. And it can blow things up. It can cause things to be blown up or actually shoot things, you know. But there's an intelligence behind it. And so that's what the flying roles seem to be. And in this case, it is a woman. It doesn't say it's anything other than a woman. Who is this woman? Probably comparable to the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of the Queen of Heaven, who is the fake Mary that the Roman Catholics worship falsely, all that sort of thing. So next, Zechariah 5, 9 to 11. Who is next? Jim?
Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, to behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar. It shall be established and set there upon her own base.
Now, there's two women. This isn't the same as the woman in the ephah. And these two women, says, have wings of a stork. Now, first of all, we know it's not angels, because in the Bible, angels are always called what? Men. And angels never have, according to the Bible, angels never have wings. These are women with wings, and they have wings of a stork. So it is a wicked female spirit taken to Babylon, which is Shinar, by two unclean creatures. Why do I say that? Because storks are listed as unclean. Leviticus 11:19 and Deuteronomy 14:18. So you have these two women that are with these stork wings. They're an unclean creature. That's all we know. From scripture to scripture. Scripture with scripture, we see that. And in verse 11, we don't have time to get into it, but I believe it's talking about the land of Shinar be established and set there upon her own base. And that's a reference to Babylon, which I believe we've taught through Revelation 17 and 18, that I believe is mystery Babylon and is Rome. But let's move on, because we, as we said, we're not going to get into all the details. Zechariah 6, who's this one? Mary? Zechariah 6, oh, there you go, 1 through 5.
And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot, black horses. And in the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth.
So I says, what's that? That's just what it says. Those horses represent the four spirits which stand before the Lord. It's not your typical angel, if it is an angel, but mysterious heavenly creatures with a job to do. And, huh? Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Revelation 4, 2 to 5 is Jessica. But I want to say before we go there, what you just read, there's four horses of the apocalypse in Revelation, but they're not the same as these. And what Jessica is about to read compares to the creatures that we read about in Ezekiel. But you remember when Charlie read about those creatures in Ezekiel, which weren't called cherubims, so we don't know for sure what they are. They each had four faces, right? Well, these are going to have one face each. Four different faces, but one each. So they aren't the same thing. So go ahead and read that in Revelation 4, 2 to 5, Jessica.
And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
I'll read it. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Now watch this. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white raiment, And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven what?
Spirits of God.
Spirits of God. Now, we just read in Zechariah about these four spirits, but these are seven, so they're not the same thing. And these 24 elders, I just make a note here that some know, I put in quotes, who these are. But they remain mysterious regardless of opinions. One of the fun things about talking to my brethren, Bible believers and pastors and folks, is they'll nail it down. I remember Noah Hutchins was one of them that said it was the church, represented the church. And I was like, well, that's a good guess, but that's not, you know, anything that can be proven from Scripture dogmatically. And he knows now, he's with the Lord. But the rest of us, this is one of those things where I'm not convinced anyone knows. So it's a mysterious group of creatures, 24 elders. All right? So these next creatures are confused with the cherubims, but they appear to be completely different. Go ahead and read verses 6 and 9, 6 through 9, Johnny.
And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face like as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever.
Now cut you off there just because you can't keep going on. But look at that, verse 7, it sounds similar to what Charlie read, except for each one of those had all four faces. And in this case, there are four beasts and they each have a face. One was like a lion, another like a calf, and so forth. So they're not the same. And so these are mysterious. So very similar to cherub, but different and mysterious. Or this is just another example of cherubims who just, they're not all the same. The reason why I don't think they're all cherubims is because like human beings and anyone else, we all have two arms, two legs, you know, what do you call them? Your members are the same. And now we have different collar hair. Some of us have hair. Others are missing. Others have hair on their face and not on their head. You know, that kind of thing. But generally, we're pretty well the same creature, you know. And these aren't. That's why I say it's mysterious. We don't know for sure. As I said, there are some brethren who think they do know. So we're over to Revelation 9, 1 through 3. And I think that is John Albaugh.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose the smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power.
How many of you ever seen one of those? How many of you are glad you never seen one of those? Nothing more need be said. If that's not mysterious to you, I don't know what to say. But then 7 through 11, who was reading? Oh, Jill, keep reading there. 7 through 11.
And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon.
Now, that's just, isn't that something? I mean, Abaddon or Apollyon, whichever name you use for the king of the bottomless pit. And we've talked about, we believe he's down there right now. And he's going to come out. And the description of the locust, some people try to say this is like military helicopters with all this stuff. Why would the military helicopters be coming out of a bottomless pit?
And why would they
have hair? Yeah, well, those are the Beatles. I don't know if you knew that. Those are the Beatles. How many of you remember that? Back in the late 70s and through the 80s, there were people who were claiming that this was describing the Beatles. And that the sound of their wings was the music, and that they were bringing the beast and the Antichrist system with them and all that. Yeah, that's for real. I'm not making it up. You know, people have trouble believing what they read, so then they just come up. You know, if you're not going to believe what you read, you're not going to take it at face value. You end up anywhere. Daniel 7:4. Doug, are you there?
Yeah, the first was like a lion and had the eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand up on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it.
So verse 3 says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So this is another example of creatures in the spirit world that are mysterious. Now, we studied Daniel and went through that, and I won't take time now. But question is, are these a rank of angels or other mysterious creatures? We're not told. One last place, Brother John Thurston, 10:13, and then 20.
But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia.
And then verse 20.
And said he, knowest thou, therefore, I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come.
So these are angels, but could be of a higher rank in Satan's army of fallen angels. But we're not told much else about them. We just know that they're fighting Michael the archangel. And there's a prince of Persia, which would now be Iran. Prince of Grecia, Greece, are there these high-ranking satanic angels over all the nations? And that's a good question, because there's been a lot of books written claiming that's the case. We're just not told enough really about it. We do know that Satan is the prince of the air, with other lower princes serving under him. That's why Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So all of this that we've studied tonight serves to remind us of this fact. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:1. We are in the flesh. We have a duty to do certain things in the flesh. But what we do in the flesh had better be in accordance with God's Word and by the power of His Spirit giving us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to do what we do. Otherwise, it'll come to naught. Amen? In our next study, we'll look at the avenging angels. And we'll close with a song in our praise book, page 45.